Over the last 2 months, we have been looking at the letter of Philippians, learning how to enjoy the rest of our lives. And as we have noted before, the Apostle Paul has every reason in the world not to be enjoying the rest of his life. He's locked up in prison. His crime is being a Christian, and that he's been proclaiming the good news of salvation, and that got him thrown into prison. He has every reason in the world to be bitter, angry, resentful, doubting God, doubting his relationship with God, and yet none of those are true. Instead, he is just having joy flow from his life. 16 times in 4 chapters, he says, rejoice, be joyful. We've got great reasons to rejoice. And so we're really investigating this letter, asking ourselves a very simple question. How can we learn to enjoy the rest of our life, no matter what the circumstances may be at the present? Now, we've looked at 6 lessons so far where Paul has said, here's how you enjoy the rest of your life. Number one, enjoy your friends. Number two, learn to look at your life with a new perspective. Number three, learn to eliminate worry. Number four, learn how to treat people. Number five, learn to make a difference in your world. And number six, make peace with God. Today, we're ready for number 7 as soon as we pray. Well, Father, we do want to learn more from your word on how to enjoy the rest of our life. Father, we want to have joy be the dominant quality and characteristic of our attitude, because we know that's what your word says. Would you teach us, Lord, once again today, the lesson you want us to learn so that we can enjoy the rest of our life? And we'll give you the praise through Christ. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, I was riveted to the TV set as the Indianapolis 500 was wrapping up. Did anybody see the Indy 500 this year? One of the most fascinating endings that I have ever witnessed in a race. This year, it really ended on, I guess, what we call a strange note. Robbie Gordon was leading the race for I don't know how many laps toward the end of the race. Looked like he had a sure win, except something happened on the last lap. Did he have a wreck? No. Did he go to sleep at the wheel? No. He ran out of gas. Now, how come all the husbands elbowed their wives right then? Robbie Gordon had the Indy 500 won until the last lap. Can you imagine going 500 miles and running out of gas at 499? When he ran out of gas, he coasted into the pits. Kenny Brack passed him and went on to win the race. But I was fascinated with an interview post-race with Gordon, the loser. Listen carefully what Gordon says. What are you going to do? I could cry. I could kick the car. I could punch the fuelers. But what good would that accomplish? One thing about Robbie Gordon at the end of the race, he was not enjoying the rest of his life. He learned a very important lesson that we all need to learn, is you don't win unless you finish strong. And if what is true of a race is also true of life. You don't get points just for running. You have to finish, and you have to be able to finish strong. If you want to enjoy the rest of your life, what good is it if you're going to enjoy 499 miles and then run out of gas or give up or get so frustrated that you quit before you finish and cross the finish line? As I said a moment ago, the Apostle Paul has every reason in the world to give up. Every reason in the world to be bitter, angry, and frustrated. But instead, even though he is locked up in a Roman prison, he is still enjoying his life. Why? Well, I'm convinced from the passage today that we're going to see one of the reasons that he enjoyed the rest of his life is his dogged determination to finish strong. He was just bullheaded that he was going to finish the race no matter what. Now, what I'm discovering in my life and my study of Scripture is that there is something about having that dogged determination to finish that somehow helps you enjoy the race. When you know you're going to finish and you're going to win, it helps you smile on lap 499. And that's what we want to look at today. How can you enjoy the rest of your life? By finishing strong. Well, that's great news. What we need to learn is, how do you finish strong? How do you finish life strong? If you have your Bibles open, Philippians chapter 3 tells us how. Number one, if you're going to finish the race strong, number one, you have to forget the past. You have to forget the past. Look at what he says in verses 12 and 13. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is what? Behind. Forgetting what is behind. How many of you in this room have trouble forgetting what is behind? How many of you spend more time looking in the rearview mirror than out the front window of the car? It's tough, isn't it? It's tough to forget the past. Has life been difficult? Has life been unfair? Have you been hurt and wounded by abusive people and unjust circumstances in your life? Well, that just about got everybody. That's life, isn't it? What I'm saying is, what Paul is saying is, if you hope to enjoy the rest of your life, you've got to let go of the past. You have to pry loose your fingers one at a time from the hurt, from the pain, from the bitterness, from the abuse. You have to pry it loose and just let it go. And let it go. You can't believe how easy that is for me to say, and how hard it is for us to do. The past has a way of becoming like a ball and a chain attached to your leg. The past has a way of becoming like walking in quicksand. It's like trying to run the marathon with ski boots on. That's what the past will do if you hold on to it. It will prevent progress. It will paralyze growth. I was thinking this week, and I think this is accurate to say from my own experience, I cannot think of anything in the world that prevents and impedes spiritual growth like holding on to the past. If you hold on to the past, and if you're always looking in the rearview mirror, worrying about the pain, worrying about how I got hurt or I got abused or I got beat up and life is unfair and it's unjust, if you spend all your time doing that, you're going to spend all your time going off in the ditch. You can't stay on the road if you're not looking down the road. You've got to learn to forget the past. Paul had every reason in the world to be bitter and resentful, but he made a decision. He said, one thing I do. He's saying, I have made a decision in my life to let go of the past. I'm going to forget the past, so that I can move forward. You know, one of my favorite stories is a true story about Robert E. Lee. After the Civil War was over, he was visiting the home of an old Kentucky lady. And she was very bitter and angry over the war. And she took Robert E. Lee out to her front lawn, and there was a big old tree out front. And the limbs and the trunk were damaged because of the artillery fire from the north. And she was bitter and she was angry and she just went on and on and on. And she was hoping to get a sympathetic ear, maybe a word of resentment from Robert E. Lee. Finally, Robert E. Lee stopped her. And he said, Madam, cut it down and forget it. Sometimes, friends, as you look at the past of your life, you have to make a decision. Am I going to go out every day and look at this beat up tree and be angry and resentful? Or am I going to cut it down and forget it? How many of you here have gardens and flower beds that you've been cleaning out? Yeah, and you know, you just go out and you know, last week I went out and kind of worked on a new flower bed, got it all cleaned out. And then it rained last night. Now you know right now what I'm going to be doing sometime probably in about a week. I'm going to be out there re-weeding that flower bed because of the rain and the moisture. More weeds are going to come. Now, you tell me, would it be right for me to go out there next week and to look down at that flower bed and see weeds and go, "Oh, no, what's the world come to? I'm a horrible gardener. Obviously, I'm not very good at what I do." No. What am I supposed to do? Get back down there and you pull them back up. See, some of you in this room said, "Well, I keep forgetting the past, but it keeps coming back to haunt me. I forget it and it's back. I forget it and it's back." What do you do when the past just won't let go of you? Don't beat yourself up. Some of you say, "Well, there's something wrong with me. I must not be a very good Christian because the past keeps coming back to hurt me." No, what you do is you just get up every morning and you re-weed the garden. And when the pain is there again, you pull it out, you give it back to God, and you look out the front windshield and you say, "You know, I've got better things to do in life than to look backwards." Learn to look forward. It's the only way genuine spiritual growth is going to happen in our life. What do you do with the past? Forget it. Forget the past so you can enjoy the rest of your life and finish strong. All right, so what's number one? Forget the past. Let's say it together. Forget the past. Number two, you have to focus on the prize. Oh, I love this. Look at verses 14 to 16. It says, middle of verse 13, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." All of us who are mature, notice that. You want to be mature? All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. Let me ask you, in your life, what is your finish line? What's your finish line? Everybody has a finish line. What is your goal in life? The thing you are pursuing? Your driving passion? What is the one thing that when you someday get it, you will say to yourself, "Whew, I made it. I did it. I have arrived at the finish line." What is that finish line for you? Is it a degree? Is it landing a certain job? Is it a promotion? Is it getting married? Is it getting unmarried? What's your driving passion in life? Is it making $1 million? Is it building that new house? Is it reaching retirement? "Oh, once I get to that point, then I'll enjoy the rest of my life." What is your finish line? Do you see Paul's finish line? For the Apostle Paul, there was only one finish line worth pursuing: his heavenly prize. "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." That was Paul's finish line. He realized, friend, there was more to life than just this life. Any amens to that? Anybody glad there's more to life than this life? Listen, that is good news. Paul was looking for a better place called heaven. About a year ago, Jack Nicholson came out with a movie, As Good As It Gets. And there's a wonderful scene in As Good As It Gets. You remember the scene? Jack Nicholson has been, you know, Jack Nicholson in this movie is a really troubled man psychologically. I mean, he's got all kinds of psychological, psychiatric problems. I mean, he's a nut. You know, he's just a nut. But he's in to see his psychiatrist. He leaves the office of the psychiatrist. He's walking through the waiting room. You remember what he says? He's about to leave and he turns to all these troubled people waiting to get in to see the psychiatrist. And he says, "Have you ever thought to yourself, what if this is good as it gets?" And then he left. And then you see all these troubled people going, "Oh no." So I ask you this morning, your life, what if this is as good as it gets? I kind of feel like this morning we're all in the waiting room at the psychiatrist's office. And I'm saying to you, what if this is as good as it gets? Let me tell you the good news about Christianity. This is not as good as it gets. As a matter of fact, this is as bad as it gets.
This is, if you can handle life, eternity is a piece of cake. This is as bad as it gets. We kind of have to go through the rough before we get to eternity. Listen, we've got a heavenly prize awaiting us. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ returns, or I die, whichever comes first, when we cross the finish line and we receive the heavenly prize. You know what the heavenly prize is? Heaven. It's heaven. Heaven. Eternity with God and eternity with each other. Now some of you are saying, well, I don't know. That last part doesn't sound too much like heaven. Let me tell you what's really neat about heaven other than God. You know all of us in this room, even some people that kind of get on your nerves, they're going to be changed. You know all those changes you've been trying to bring about in your spouse unsuccessfully? The Holy Spirit, at the finish line, your spouse is going to be changed. Hallelujah. All the freaky, weird, goofy things they do that drive you nuts are all going to be wholly sanctified. Oh, the women are saying hallelujah now. I knew I'd get the women into this. Ah, your husband isn't here today, is he? That's what I thought. Isn't that glorious? I mean, think about it. I mean, I'm looking forward to spending eternity with you guys, but the thought of spending eternity with you made perfect is just mind-boggling. But it kind of makes you want to finish the race, doesn't it? I mean, I can't wait to see what some of you guys will be like when you're finished. I mean, right? You know, some of you are about half-baked. But man, when you come out of the oven, baked, done, perfect, sanctified, you're really going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy spending time with you. More so than now. Where was I? Do you want to enjoy the rest of your life? Then you need to have the right finish line, your heavenly prize. And then once you have the right finish line, then you need to focus on it. Really focus on the prize. And never let your vision drift to lesser goals. Focus on the prize so you can enjoy the rest of your life and finish strong. Number three. All right, did you get that one? Focus on the prize. Say it with me. Focus on the prize. So number one, we're going to forget the past. Number two, we're going to focus on the prize. And number three, we're going to follow godly people. Follow godly people. Verse 17, very important. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their minds are where? On earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. See, I wasn't making this stuff up. You are going to be gloriously changed someday. But notice what Paul says, number three. If you really want to finish strong, you need to follow godly people. When we were on vacation, we came back through Abilene, where I grew up, and spent some time with my parents. My brother's family came up. And one night, it was the night before my dad's birthday, and so he nailed me. He made me buy him birthday dinner. And so I said, okay, as long as we get to go to my favorite restaurant, a place called Zettner's Daughter, wonderful, wonderful steakhouse. And so the problem was they've rerouted some stuff in Abilene, and I could not remember where to get to Zettner's. I'd only been there like once or twice. And so my dad was saying, we had to take two cars because we have so many grandkids now. And so we were loaded into cars, and I said, you know, I'm not sure where I need to turn. When you're shooting down Treadway, do I take, 27th or do I take 30th? Where do I turn off? And Dad was trying to give me directions and stuff. My wise brother steps forward and he says, listen, I'm driving Dad's Suburban. Follow me. And I thought, well, now there's a wonderful idea. Why didn't I think of that? And you know what? I just got behind my brother and followed the Suburban, and we pulled into the parking lot of Zentner's daughter. That's what can happen with you. You're focused on the prize, but sometimes the world has a way of distracting us, doesn't it? And we start getting confused and blurry vision, usually because we've been looking up in the rearview mirror too much, looking at the past. And we don't focus on the prize. How do you make it to the finish line? Listen, this is not a solo operation, aren't you glad? It's a group project. You know what we need in the kingdom? We need a bonding experience. A bonding experience. And that's what happens, you see, when you follow godly people. What does Paul say? Verse 17, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." Do you see what he's saying? Take note of. That's just another way of saying, look at their lives and follow them. If you want to get somewhere, find somebody who's already on the road, further down the road, and then just follow their taillights, and you'll get there. If you want to finish strong, doesn't it make sense? Doesn't it make sense to follow people who know where the finish line is? Follow the wrong people, you'll never reach the finish line. Who do you follow? Verse 17 makes it very clear. Those who live according to the pattern. Talk about the biblical pattern. In other words, they don't just talk it, but they live it. So you find people who are living godly lives, men and women. And then you pattern your life after them. Having trouble in your marriage? Find somebody whose marriage is together and say, what do they do? Follow their taillights. Having trouble being a businessman or businesswoman? Find godly Christian business people and get in their taillights. And you follow them all the way.
This is the end of Side A. Stop the tape at this point and turn the cassette over to hear Side B.
Think for a moment. Who are the godly role models in your life? You have any? Who are the godly influences over the years? You know, I was thinking this week, how many people I've had the privilege of getting behind their taillights. My parents, wonderful godly example. I didn't have to read books to learn how to love my wife. I just had to watch my dad. Unbelievable demonstration of love for his wife. So I just kind of grew up with a great example for that. I thought, how did I ever learn how to preach? Some of you are saying you still haven't. You know, everything that I learned about preaching, I didn't learn from books. And I really didn't learn in graduate school. I tell you where I learned most of my preaching abilities and skills. And that is looking at two pastors when I was growing up. One, when I was in high school, Paul Faulkner was my pastor. And he taught me how to illustrate. The man had a story for everything. And I suddenly learned, man, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And that's where I learned to illustrate. And the power of illustrating. And then when I was in college, Lynn Anderson was my pastor. Some of you, you've read Lynn Anderson's name. Anybody read Max Licato books? Okay, Max and I were in school together, and we were both at Highland Church, and Lynn Anderson was our pastor. And we learned how to preach because we sat there every Sunday listening to Lynn Anderson. Read the preface of some of Max's early books. Read the acknowledgement page. And it'll say, a special word of thanks to Lynn Anderson, who taught me blah, 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 blah. Lynn Anderson taught me how to outline. I'd take a notebook to church with me, and I would outline his sermons. And pretty soon I kind of figured out, oh, I see how he's doing that. Godly role models. You know, it doesn't matter what you do in your life, what profession you're in. Have you had those godly role models out there? If not, find them. They're out there somewhere and learn to pattern your life after them. There's basically two kinds of role models, godly and ungodly. You have to ask yourself, which one am I following? Find godly people who are forgetting the past, focused on the prize, and then follow them with a tenacity and you'll eventually arrive at the goal. Follow godly people so you can enjoy the rest of your life and finish strong. All right. Hey, I was telling you earlier about the Indy 500. After they interviewed the sad loser, Robbie Gordon, they did an interview with Kenny Brack. Remember, he had just passed, won the Indy 500. And in the process, they asked him in the interview, they said, "Well, what do you think about Robbie Gordon running out of gas?" I love what he says. Listen to this. Real simple. He said, "I don't know what kind of tank he had, but I know you can't do more than 30 laps on one tank." See, Robbie Gordon, I think, tried to make 39 laps or something like that. And he didn't make it. The winner says, "You know, I knew all along that he wasn't going to make it. Because when you look back at the Indy, what happened was Robbie Gordon failed to make one critical pit stop." He said, "I can make it without the pit stop," and he didn't make it. Yeah, I really feel this morning that what this is a pit stop for all of us. This is a critical pit stop, and we've pulled in to the pit stop. And so while you're here, I want to ask you four important questions before you get back on the road this week, okay? Number one, are you enjoying the rest of your life? Number two, do you want to finish strong? Number three, if you continue on your present course, will you reach the finish line? And number four, if not, what kind of adjustments do you need to make today in the pit so that you will be able to finish strong? I don't know everything about all of you, but there is one thing this morning I know about every single person here. You can make it. You can make the finish line. But you got to follow God's pattern. You got to obey His Word and listen carefully to the way the Apostle Paul says, here's how you make it to the finish line. Some of you need to make a decision today. Forget the past. It's over. Quit crying over spilt milk. Rip the dadgum rearview mirror out of your car. Do I need to be more specific? Forget it. It's over. And when it comes back tomorrow, cut it down and move on. Focus on the prize. Some of you haven't thought about heaven in a long time. You need to think about heaven about once a day. Sure keeps this life in perspective. And number three, some of you could really do well by following some godly role models. Find them. They're out there. They're heading toward the finish line. Just follow their taillights, and one of these days you'll wake up and you'll be there. Do this. Will you do this? All right, pit stop's over. The wheels are down. Crank up the engines. We're ready to get back on the racetrack. Do this. Do this, and you will finish strong. And in the process, guess what? You'll wake up and discover you have been enjoying the rest of your life. Let's bow. Father, what a privilege it is to study Your Word. It's so practical, it's so relevant to the way we live. And Lord, I pray for those people in the room today who need to forget the past, who need to focus on the prize, and who need to follow godly people. Father, give them the determination to not just make a decision today, but to be willing to follow up on that decision tomorrow. Father, this is our greatest need today, so we'll be able to finish strong and enjoy the rest of our life. And we'll give You the praise and the glory through Christ. Amen. Amen.